This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, my cat-loving friend. Give them 10. Have you heard of this? This is a program and a campaign that is out there to help all of our lives. And today we have Deborah Cribbs with us, who is the founder and leader of the Give Them 10 movement. If you haven't heard about it, you're going to want to stay tuned because this is really exciting. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsor. Hey, it's Linda Hall from 19 Cats and Counting.
And I'm Rita Reimers from 19 Cats and Counting. You know the expression that cats have 9 lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life.
How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control the free-roaming cat populations, too. You can learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org.
That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 19 Cats and Counting. I am your co-host, Linda Hall, and unlike normal, I am not here with my BFF and partner in crime, Rita Reimers. Unfortunately, Rita's had some yucky stuff in her life. She lost her parents, and she just wasn't quite up to it today, but she's really upset about missing it because we love this, and particularly Scooter, the neutered cat. We seriously are obsessed with him. So, Deborah, thank you so much for joining us today.
So happy to be here.
Start off by telling us, what is Give Them 10?
Well, first I'll explain our name. Cats have 9 lives, right? Give them 10.
I like that. We all want more out of our cats.
That's what we're all about.
Exactly.
We are only here to serve cats.
I love it. That's our heart, you know. That's where we are too. So how are you doing this? How are we giving them the 10th life?
Well, I'll take a step back, if I may. About a decade ago, my colleagues and I, who by day are bankers, we got control of a very large private foundation that sole purpose was to care for cats. So we're numbers people, we're bankers, and actually cats in the Cincinnati area was the mission. That's a really specific mission, and it's an awful lot of money. So as business people would do, we took a look at it as a business and as a business problem. And we said, what's the problem here about cats? What problems do cats have? Well, cats are being killed in shelters at terrible rates in the United States. What are the rates they're being killed in the Cincinnati area? We looked into. Turns out, the way that we measure this in the shelter business is called the live release rate. That means the percentage of cats that enter the shelter and leave alive one way or another. The live release rate in the Cincinnati area about a decade ago when we started doing this was somewhere in the 30-something percentile, very low. And it was with what I like to call the yellow sticky method of data collection. So not really great data and very not at all transparent with the public. So we realized the problem is cats are being killed in shelters. How can we help with that? So there are basically 2 big ways to get cats out of shelters. One is to, well, foster and adopt. Obviously, a great thing to work on. But really what we were thinking of is the other holy grail, spay neuter. Let's not get any cats into the shelter.
Amen.
There aren't enough to even go into shelters anymore. That really then becomes the spay neuter issue. We decided to work on spay neuter. So that's what we did. And now our live release rate in our area is somewhere in the high 90 percentile. So we're really proud.
I can actually cry about that. When you said that 30 some percent, I was like trying to find a tissue on my desk because that's not much, you know? And okay, so there is the obviously, yes, the shelters, the overpopulation, definitely. And our shelters and rescues are strained to the max. They don't have the resources. they can't take in more cats. My goodness, if we could cut down who's coming in, then those who really need it could come in, right? There's so many other problems with these cats. They tore down a house near me that had been abandoned for a while. It wasn't abandoned. Guess who was living there? A feral colony. I've got cats all over the backyard. They're driving my cats crazy, causing my cats to spray. You know, health problems. There are so many problems, even beyond the shelters, which is huge, that you are helping with. This is gigantic.
Trying.
So how? How did you go about doing this?
Well, again, we're business people. So we looked at it and said, it's a perpetual problem. This problem started in the United States when shelters started. And that happened way back in the last century. There are lots and lots of reasons why. But we sort of said, the public doesn't understand really how many cats and dogs, for that matter, are being killed in shelters. Because so many of these, I'm going to call them old-fashioned, not progressive shelters, are not transparent at all with public. So part of our resources, we decided to spend talking to the public. And that is a decade-long quest. The message has changed and adapted as we've learned and as things have been fixed. I've got lots of puns for speaking,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. I almost got missed that one. That was good. Yeah.
But that was part of it, is talking to the public. So we have created an ad campaign over the last decade that has a number of different campaigns within it. And we're really proud of it. They're really, really fun. And you say you love Scooter. He's Scooter the neutered cat. He's our mascot.
Rita and I are obsessed.
Testicles, no testicles. So everybody should go online, look for Scooter online. We have a YouTube channel. And our website, givethem10.org. You can always look at our suite of campaigns. But that was part of it. So let's talk to the public, because we maintain that if we don't actually fix the problem, we will continue to chase our tails, right? We have to fix the problem. And the public, actually, let's just be honest, humans cause this problem. So the other part of our work is going directly and partnering with shelters. We put a lot of money on the ground with shelters, made our shelters better. We built high volume, low cost spay neuter centers. I mean, we've done all of that. And I tell you, we have rock star people, rock star facilities in this area for sure. And that's great. And we're so proud. And all of that is wonderful. But it really is the human part of the equation that we need to keep working on. Humans need to understand that this problem has been created by us and can be fixed by us.
Exactly. And I'll say, I have said this for years. If you love cats, you should care about this. They're suffering. They're getting sick. They're getting injured. They're being born with problems. They're obviously not getting vaccinated. Yada, 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 yada. They're hungry. They're thirsty, whatever. If you hate cats, you should care about this problem, because you don't want those cats in your yard, right? You don't want those cats bothering you. You don't want those cats walking on your new car in the driveway. Love them or hate them, you should care about this issue.
That is our latest campaign. So thank you for saying that.
I love that. Yes.
Stay neuter is the right answer.
Exactly. Nobody wants them all. I will tell you, I came down to help Rita in South Carolina. We have seen 3 stray cats in her yard just this week, and we're just ready to cry. She lives with 18 cats. I live with 12. We cannot take in any more cats.
Are they ear tipped? They're not?
We have not gotten really, the one I saw was not. We haven't really gotten good looks at the others because, you know, they're feral. So, you know. It's a struggle, but yeah, it's a huge problem. And the shelter here had gone down to what they call low kill. They were pretty much hadn't euthanized anybody in a while. They didn't want to. They'd gotten so full, they started it up again.
Yeah, the volumes, Cincinnati area is pretty stable, and we're grateful for that. Nationally, post-pandemic, for a host of reasons, the volumes in shelters have gone back up for cats and dogs. And that's really kind of devastating for those of us who have been working in the shelter business to see. It's really disheartening. And again, that's why I say we have to talk to the public about this. Like you said, even if you don't like cats, you care about this because you don't want to have cats spraying outside your house. Nobody wants that. And if they are spay neutered, they're much less likely to spray. I mean, there's a good thing for everybody.
I will tell you, Reed and I are behaviorists. We work with humans who are having behavior problems with their cats. I would guesstimate 40, 50% of the time, they have ferals outside and they didn't know it. And they don't understand. And their cats are angry. They're fighting with each other. They're spraying. They're peeing outside the box. And we always say, exterior walls by any chance? Under windows and doors by any chance? Get a black light. Go outside your house after dusk. Walk around. See if something glows. Ding, ding, ding. People are frustrated. They've taken their animal to the vet. They are fighting this. And it's because of a cat outside. And they're always like, I never would have guessed.
Ask us, we know.
Exactly. Absolutely. And they're so good, those ferals, at hiding from us. We don't know they're there. I got fooled a couple years ago. My daughter's 20-year-old cat, who only lived upstairs. He only came downstairs twice a day for wet food. He walked downstairs in the middle of the day, walked into my bedroom, which he never did. I was like, what are you doing, Tiger? Walked over to an exterior wall, turned his butt around and sprayed it right in front of me. And I couldn't say anything because I know what he's doing. He's trying to protect his territory. And sure enough, I had this beautiful forsythia bush on the opposite side of that wall that was housing some feral cats.
I mean, you can't blame him. It is his nature.
No, in fact, I started to kind of, never mind. You know, I can't argue with you. You're trying to protect your home. And that's the anxiety those cats are causing. I mean, the problems, we could probably talk an hour just about the problems caused by having these cats out there repopulating, right? It's insane. And it causes more problems than people will ever believe.
Right. And you just said it, repopulating. Let's say if there are healthy cats, and we call them community cats, if there are healthy cats outside, as long as they're fixed right now, I mean, we're not going to go kill them. As long as they're fixed, let them live their life. They're thriving in some manner. Somebody's feeding them, or they're good hunters or scavengers or whatever. But let's try to not have them repopulate.
I'll tell you, one of the cats in Rita's house, we call him Feral Larry. Larry was caught in a TNR. He's FIV positive. He is not living his best life in this house, but we can't run him outside because one fight and one infection is going to be it for him. So it's been a year and we're starting to get Larry sightings, but I haven't seen him, and I've been in her house for a week and a half now. I have not even seen him. He's, you know, this is not what's best for him, but this is what's happening. They're out there, they're fighting, they're getting injured, they're getting ill. You know, we did what we had to do to save them. But it's just heartbreaking. So I know we need to stop for commercial break, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about how we tackle this. So we will be right back after this word from our amazing sponsor.
Pet Greens is proud to support 19 Cats and Counting on Pet Life Radio. Our small family farm produces live organic cat grass, catnip, and soft chew treats packed with green nutrition to help your pets truly thrive inside. We're partnering with pioneer cat behavior expert and best-selling author Pam Johnson Bennett to help indoor cats live their best lives with indoor enrichment tips for their parents.
Anyone who knows me knows I am a very strong proponent for cats being indoors. But when we bring cats indoors, where I feel it's safest, we have an obligation to make sure they have a fulfilling life, that they get enrichment. And part of that enrichment is encouraging health. And a big part of that health is cat grass. Cat grass helps with the prevention of hairballs. It can help keep your cat away from houseplants. It's also fun for your cat. It's a natural behavior that your cat wants to chew, and you know that you're providing it in a safe way.
For more information on the benefits of cat grass and catnip for your cat's indoor enrichment, visit petgreens.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 19 Cats and Counting. We are here with Deborah Cripps from Give Them 10, giving our cats that 10th life. So talk to us about TNR, because a lot of people don't know what it is. And there was a recent, you're probably aware, there's a recent I heard news about, well, not too recent, a few months ago, people fighting this, like, don't capture the cats. Have you caught on to this ridiculousness? Yeah. So
there is some controversy.
Talk to us about how we do this and what your answer is.
Well, I don't think it's controversial, but I do know there are some national organizations who have made controversy out of it. But our point of view in the animal welfare business that I'm in is that community cats, if they're thriving and healthy, should be fixed, released into wherever it is that they're thriving,
yes,
and let to just live their lives. If they are not thriving, if somebody's sick, then they need to be trapped and taken to a shelter. But TNR, trap, neuter, return, means exactly that. And we've made some kind of fun videos that we have on our website to actually show people, should be there too, how you can go about trapping a cat. And I mean, I've done it. I'm sure you've done it. It is a service to the community if you can identify a colony of cats. And it's not going to happen overnight by any stretch. But if you can capture all of them and get them all fixed, that colony will just live its life. Probably not let others in and die off someday, but at least they're not repopulating.
I took in a cat from outside a couple of years ago. I tried to pretend I didn't see her there. It didn't work because my son and his girlfriend were sitting in the back lawn. This cat was a young kitten, 34 months old, maybe. Bring her in. Put her in your bedroom so we can get her spayed. We got her spayed. And a little while later, I saw a very similar looking, I think it was probably her sister out of the same litter, cat. And I was devastated. And I called Rita literally in tears. And I said, I feel like we're pushing back the ocean. I took in one and there's another. But she repeated to me the rate of how many cats that one cat would end up having in their lifetime and their grandbabies and babies. And I thought, okay, I feel a little bit better now. I at least help, right? So nobody can fix this problem alone. But each one, right, that you take care of, say, I don't remember what the number was. It was like 2,000 cats or something that this one cat could be.
I read different numbers, but it's thousands.
It's crazy. It's a lot. And it was ridiculous. And so you do just one, right? You just want to do one. That would really save us so much. Their babies and their babies' babies and their babies' babies' babies, right? We, you know.
Every spay neuter helps. We always say, because we fun. We're a funder. But there is no bad spay neuter. All spay neuters are good spay neuters. And cats are very resourceful. If they're thriving outside, again, as long as they're fixed, let them be there. They're not going to hurt anything. If they are hurting something in your world, please talk to your local shelter and see what can be done about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They're equipped. That's their life. And that. So I brought up Feral Larry. You know, those cats that are truly feral, that's their life. They're wild animals. We can't just, I don't know if you see the cat behind me, but that was a cat taken in from outside too. That's Teddy. Teddy was roaming outside and a neighbor picked it up. And yeah, her and her brother Jet now live here because they were outside. We didn't set out to have 18 and 12 cat, honey. They just keep finding us.
Yeah, they're lucky. I'll say they're lucky.
But again, you take in too, right?
We had a colony as well, and then we went condo. So now we only have two.
Smart, yes. Well, you know, those three cats were all taken in as kittens that, again, had they been TNR'd, we turn down cats all the time. We just got somebody needing to rehome the cat yesterday. We said, I'm sorry, we absolutely can't take that right now. If somebody had done TNR, we'd be down three at least. Actually, probably about 10 or 15 if I thought about it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, people ask me, what can I do? Well, you can get to know your shelter. You can volunteer at a shelter. You can give money to a shelter. You can do all those things. And those are great things to do. But what can you really do? If you are caring for an outside cat, bless your heart. Make sure that cat is fixed. If you're feeding an outside cat, that cat is your responsibility, like it or not. I'd like you if you took that cat to the vet every year. But at the very least, if you're feeding that cat outside or a cat crosses your path and does not have an ear tip, please go get that cat fixed. There are so many resources to do it inexpensively in every city of the country.
Yes. I will tell you, Defiant started something and I'm so excited. The lady that is in charge of our shelter went before the city council. And what they're doing is all you have to do is call them and say, I'm at 123 Rover Road. Please drop off a trap. They set the trap. You call them when it's been sprung. They come pick the cat up. They spay or neuter it and they release it back to your house. And they're doing it twice a year. Is that enough to solve the problem? No, but it is a huge help, right? Like, yeah, we had them in our house a couple of times. So yeah, made it very easy on the community. You just say, yeah, here's where I need it. Set the trap out. They take care of it. I wish more communities would do that.
I agree. Those are good programs, but there's probably some program in every area of the country. So just call, ask, check.
We had a lady on the podcast, actually in your area, just average lady living her life. She had some ferals outside. She just does a few a year because she said, you know, I can't afford to spay and neuter all these cats. But every, you know, so often she sets a trap and she takes care of that one cat. And that, again, is cutting down exponentially, right?
It really is. Everyone helps. I mean, you're right. Sometimes we feel like we're holding back the ocean. And the only way I can look at it is I'm going to try to help my little corner of the world. And I hope that our advertising message, our campaigns, which talk about spay neuter in a funny, funny way, I hope those are reaching much further than just my little part of the world. And actually, now we have a new program. And I'd love to tell your viewers about it.
Yes, please.
Offering our ad campaign for almost nothing, along with some marketing support. We're offering to license it just to see if Scooter can live in other cities. We love Scooter. He speaks so well. He's such a good spokes cat. We want Scooter to be able to be in other cities across the nation, but we can't go put those ads in every city. So we asked for any shelter network that wants to look at our website. We say how to apply. We really want Scooter to live in other areas. So right now he's in Iowa, he's in Georgia, he's in Hawaii, on the air. So we're really excited about it.
Scooter is very cool and entertaining. I'll tell you what, if you have no interest in this, you still go on social media, look for Scooter, because he's really fun and fascinating and he's such a cool dude. So cool. You know, and the health problems too. I'll tell you, Rita had a cat that had a heart condition. And she could not be spayed. And she got pyrometra. And thank God they caught it quick enough, because usually that's an end sentence, right? You get pyrometra. It's a cancer that only happens in female organs. You spay them, no problem. There's so many problems. When we brought the kitten in from my backyard, while we were waiting, it was not long after COVID. It's hard to get into the vet. And while we were waiting for her spay, she went into heat. Wow, never again. Screaming like a banshee. All my cats lost their minds, even though they're all spayed or neutered.
Yeah.
It was quite disruptive.
Nobody wants to hear that. No.
No. It was heartbreaking and awful. And my poor son, she was in his room and she's like, I'm sleeping on a couch. I can't listen to this screaming. Why would anyone want their cat to go through that?
I don't know. I think there's a theory, and I respect this, that we shouldn't interfere with their nature. Okay. If they are living wild, someplace completely wild in a forest, if there are forest cats, by all means, they are wild. Nature will take care of all of their needs, including probably, I'm quite certain, they won't live as long as they do when they're inside True. Under our care.
Yes.
But to me, there's just not a quasi. If there is a place for them to be wild, I completely understand. But that place is not in an urban area.
Absolutely.
Or a suburban area. But if they're under our care, then we need to all find a way to live together happily
exactly.
and healthily. Spay neuter is the beginning of that way.
Yes. There are a lot of city and maybe county ordinances against feeding community cats. I know in Defiance there's one, and I understand it kind of, because when you feed them, they come and then they populate. So that without TNR is a recipe for disaster. But again, these cats are out trying to find food. I live in a typical neighborhood with houses up against each other, you know, neighbors can see in your window, you know. There's not a lot of mice and things to go hunt in these neighborhoods. So we're just letting them suffer.
Yeah, right. We set them up to fail.
We do.
If they're living in a suburban or an urban area.
Absolutely.
I very much think we caused the problem, so we need to fix the problem.
Absolutely. And you know, and cats became domesticated, which I laugh at that word because it doesn't exist. It was all about them finding communities where these people were eating together. They controlled the rodent population. The people were like, cool, I like you. You can hang, right? They were out, you know, we're talking, you know, outside, rodents. This is not what's going on in our neighborhood.
No, we changed the game.
Yeah, we took away their habitat. And then we complained because they were scratching our new car when they walk across it.
Right. No, I feel it. That's why I feel like it's our responsibility to take care of it. And I think people think that they're being really kind by feeding cats outside. I'm not saying anybody shouldn't take care of a cat. I'm saying if you're feeding them, make sure they're fixed. If you're feeding a cat, you're probably helping make them healthier. A healthier female is going to have more babies. I mean, it really does perpetuate the problem. In no way am I saying don't feed them. But if you are going to feed them, you have to take that next step as well, please.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're just, again, you're just adding to the problem, right? Because they're out there relying on you, and then their other cats are coming to feed off that plate, and then they're, you know, populating. And fortunately, in Ohio, we don't get a lot of that population in the winter. We have our breeding season. But places like South Carolina, where I'm sitting right now, it's pretty much year round. And
yep,
I can't even begin to guesstimate the amount of cats that are being born every year, adding to this for everyone.
I mean, millions. And the rate that cats are still killed in the United States in shelters, it went down. And then after post-pandemic, unfortunately, we've lost some ground. But volumes are still high. So I really wish everybody would just take this little bit of responsibility, and I think the world would be a better place.
You are absolutely correct. And yeah, and even again, even if your community doesn't have a program like Defiance is Adopted, there's somebody out there that's doing it. You don't know them. They're in a brick and mortar building. They're these neighbors that got together and decided to tackle this, right? Put your feelers out. Social media is a huge thing. Post on social media, I'm having a problem. Anybody know somebody? Somebody does. And I think every community has a community Facebook page, right? Like,
and every community has some kind-hearted people who are trapping cats.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And they're probably on social media. So,
absolutely.
Yeah,
yes. 100%. Go to that community page. So, you know, and I'll tell you, I had one I was trying to trap. I reached out to my local shelter and said, I can't afford really to buy a have-a-heart trap right now. They let me take one home, which I told
Absolutely.
Them you should really have some people put a deposit down or something. But they let me take it home and keep it for a couple of weeks while I trapped that baby.
I think any shelter will do that. I mean, they really do want to help. If you'll help them, they'll help you.
Yeah, they don't want the cat in their care, right? So they're like, yeah, have it, take it. I'm like, deposit, rental fee? They're like, no, just go. Go with God. Go fix this place. All for it. So what can people do? They're out there listening. All the ways that people can help. Maybe this will work for them. Maybe that'll work for them, right?
If you're interested in cats, get to know your shelter. They may need people to come in and pet cats for a couple of hours a day. They may need people to help clean out cat rooms in adoption centers. I mean, just get to know your local shelter. Towels and blankets are always of use to a shelter. And I say, check out our website, check out our ad campaigns, just because they're fun, and help us spread that message. All spay neuter is good spay neuter.
Exactly. Yes. And go show them some love on social media, like them, follow them, all that good stuff. You know, that feeds the algorithm and gets you out more. So just that one simple thing, a little comment, a little heart on you, that feeds that and gets you out more and helps you to do more good. I think
Absolutely.
People underestimate the power of their follows and comments and likes in social media.
It's all about social media now. And Scooter is on TikTok. He's very popular on TikTok. He's got an Insta page. I mean, you can find Scooter if you'd like to. And
yeah.
I think he can teach us all something.
Yes, he can. And he's such a cool dude. We see people get all ruffled. I don't want to neuter my cat. Usually the men, I'm sorry guys out there, but it's like, I want to take away his masculinity. Take a look at Scooter and tell me that is not a large and in charge masculine dude, right?
Indeed he is.
You don't need the hangy bits to be cool, right?
Yep. No low-hanging fruit there.
That's right. I have a t-shirt that says neuter is cuter, and it's a cat butt. I love that shirt so much.
That's a good one.
Shirt. Neuter is cute. Yeah, everybody wants to see that. It's more aesthetically pleasing too, right? And we could check you out on giveem10.org in addition to the socials. And I'm assuming, you know, that you're going to keep us up to date on socials and on your site about upcoming campaigns, any ways we can help.
Absolutely. And how to trap if you'd like to win.
It's not difficult. I was very surprised. It's not difficult at all.
Just takes a little patience.
I kind of missed that line when God was handing out gifts. Patience is not my greatest virtue. I had a very difficult time with that when I was waiting to trap. What are you doing? Yes. And look at all the cool people out there. And if you're familiar with Sterling Davis, the Trap King. Now, if you can't tell me he is not cool, and he is out, that is like his full-time job, right? He is one cool masculine man, and he's out there.
Yes.
He always says, you don't lose cool points for compassion. And I love that phrase. So give us your last thoughts, Deborah. Anything we missed, what we should do, where do we go from here?
Go say hi to Scooter, and he'll say hi back, and do everything you can in your communities to help the cats you see outside.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us today, Deborah. We really appreciate it. We appreciate everything that you are doing. I mean, look, there you are, a banker who's deciding to tackle this problem. We love that, right? It's the, you know, we're not powerless, and we don't have to wait for someone in that milieu to go out and tackle it, right? We've all got power to do something.
We can all help, and thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. Anytime. The door is open, okay?
And I'll be back.
Yeah, we hope so. Yeah, especially if you get a new campaign or something. And everybody, I'm telling you, go out, find Scooter right now. The joy he brings, the smiles he puts on my face, he is so cool. You gotta go check him out. Then show the pages some love, follow him, love on him. You won't regret it. Thanks so much, Deborah.
Thank you.
We also want to thank our beloved Mark Winter, our producer who makes us look good and, you know, keeps us on track. He is amazing. Thank everyone who listens. We really appreciate you. And I'm going to take Rita's line from her since she's not here to give it. Remember, every day is Catter Day. We'll see you soon.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.